is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise his name. For truly he is worthy to be praised. In this season, we ought to all be mindful of the gift that God has given to us through the person of his son, Jesus. Amen. Somebody said I was too mean to live and I wasn't fit to die. But while I was on my way to a devil's hell, God thought about me. Come on, how many of you are glad he thought about you too? And saw fit to send his son Jesus to die for our sins. As we stand on this Sunday morning, I want to call your attention to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 29. And we will be reading verses 15 through 30. And while you're finding that, let me just repeat our church motto. We are real people striving to serve a real God by ministering to the needs of a real world. We thank God for Pleasant Hill, and we thank God for all of you. Amen. As you have assembled here today to worship and praise his name, and then to the many of you who watch us by way of Facebook Live, we want to talk to your hearts this morning from the subject, trusting God. Amen. Trusting God. Genesis chapter 29, verses 15 through 30. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, and in some translations, that is cross-eyed. But Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." Verse 19. And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob, and he went in to her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me?" And Laban said, "It must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years." Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob also went in to Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served with Laban still another 7 years. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, God, that you will speak a word into our hearts and into our minds. We thank you and we give you praise. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Trusting God, trusting God. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, you better learn how to trust God." Amen. Thank you, ushers. Thank you. It is my contention that the contents of verses 15 through 30 convey the conviction that Jacob had a serious problem with trusting God. The basis for that conclusion is grounded in the fact that here was a man who, with his mother, conspired, schemed, and tricked both his father and brother out of the blessing and birthright of the firstborn. And as a consequence, he put his life at risk of death. So the Bible says that he runs. But in his flight from the consequence of his character, the Lord God Almighty, in sovereign mercy, gives him an unconditional promise of God's constant presence and protection on his journey, and a promise to bring him safely to the home of his uncle. And yet Jacob still tried to do things his way. He still tried to outthink and use tricks to get what he wanted. Now, I don't know how you feel about this matter, but to me, Jacob was a man who had a problem with trusting God. He had a serious problem coming to grips with the fact that God had a plan that covered all of his life, that God had previously planned and provided for all of his needs since day one of his birth until the day of his death, that God is totally reliable and trustworthy, and that he wants only the best for us. But Jacob trusted only himself. He always held something back in reserve. Y'all know how we do. He always had a backup plan. Y'all know we pray and ask God to help us and bring us out and deliver us, but we always have a backup plan. Amen. Do you know what that suggests to us? It suggests that we really don't trust God. He trusted no one but himself. The vow that he vowed in Genesis 28, 20 through 21 speaks of this problem. He says, look at it, he says, if God will be with me, that's in verses 20 and 21 of chapter 28. He says, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go. Now, incidentally, God was with him and God did keep him. And he said, and if God will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. And incidentally, y'all know God did that. He says, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Now, here is a man declaring that he would not trust God until God had solved all of his problems and provided for all of his needs. Do y'all know that we have this terrible tendency to hold out on God until he has met all of our demands? The terms of our total trust runs like this. We say, Lord, if you will give me a good paying job, Father, if you'll give me a brand new car, if you'll give me the woman that I want or the man, or bring my husband or my wife back home, heal my body, straighten up my finances, save all of my children, then, Lord, will I serve you. We sometimes act as if the Lord needs us because we're so valuable, as if God would be blessed to have us. The problem with that was this. What was Jacob going to do while God was guiding him? What was Jacob going to do while God was guarding him? What was Jacob going to do while God was providing for him all of this time? Do y'all know, it seems to me that this is a one-sided relationship that Jacob has with God. It seems to me that one party was to do all the giving and the other party was to get all the receiving. But a covenant is a contract based on a relationship. Jacob wanted God to enter into a relationship with him while he remained neutral. Do y'all know that's how some of us are in the church? He was not going to depend on God until God answered all of his prayers, until God did everything that he asked for. And so, my brothers and sisters, the question our text raises is, what do you do when you fail to trust God? What do you do when you fail to take God at his word? What do you do when you fail to rely on the present goodness of God? Do y'all understand that his present goodness ought to be enough for you to trust him?
Come on, come on, come on. I know you went to work, and I know you worked hard and to get that paycheck to put food on the table, to pay the house note, to pay the car note. But is there anybody here who understands that God is really the one who opened the door, who made the way, who gave you the privilege and the opportunity to get that good job? I dare you not trust him based upon what he's doing for you right now. Now, if you don't realize that it's him that's doing it, you won't trust him. But is there anybody here this morning who can testify in the midst of worship that it was God who woke you up this morning? Is there anybody whose present reality is that it was God who put food on my table? It was God that gave me the wherewithal to buy the clothes to put on my back. And I don't care if they came from Helping Hands or Neiman Marcus. If you got clothes to wear, you ought to give God some praise. We got to learn how to trust him. Because if we don't trust him, amen, some things are going to happen. Let me suggest that there are a number of things that you will do when you have a problem trusting God. Let me suggest that when you fail to trust God, here's number one, one of the first things you will do is serve a human master. That's the first thing Jacob did, as recorded in verse 15. Because he would not serve God, he had to serve a human master. In this 15th verse, Laban says to Jacob, because you are my brother, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be? The fact of the matter is that's why he left home in the first place. That's why he left home so abruptly. He wanted to be served instead of serving Esau or his father Isaac. And he came to Haran to be served with safety and to get the hookup on a wife. And so when Laban brought up this serving thing in verse 15, it must have blown him away and deflated his pride. I believe, my brothers and sisters, that it stemmed from the fact that Jacob misunderstood the promise of blessing in Genesis 25 and 23. Because according to the last part of that 23rd verse, the promise of blessing was the elder shall serve the younger. That was the promise of the blessing. The elder shall serve the younger. And so I believe that Jacob took it for granted that the time factor was unimportant to God. According to the seasons of our souls, there are times when we don't understand the will and word of God. And because we don't understand spiritual things as we ought, we resort to carnal reasoning. Y'all know how we do. We calculate from the standpoint of our planning, not from the standpoint of God's timing. But that's a mistake, because the promises of God have a due date. Tell your neighbor, the promises of God have a due date. They have a due date. They're going to come to pass. Come on. If God promised it, it may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen the next day. Amen. But the promises of God have a due date. Is there anybody in here who knows that God has made some promises to you, and even though you can't see them right now, you haven't stopped trusting him, you haven't given up on him, because you know that every promise that God has made has a due date. It shall come to pass. Oh, come on, somebody. You got sickness in your body, and God promised you that he would touch and heal your body, and you don't have that healing right now. Don't stop trusting him. Somebody said he may not come when you want him, but is there anybody who knows that God will show up on time? And one of the problems that plagues us today is the disdain for submission. We don't want to submit. We don't want to serve anybody. Amen. We've lifted ourselves on pedestals and allowed folk to blow up our egos and make us think we're all that and a bag of chips and got the T-shirt, and we start thinking we're too good to serve. But the promise of blessing was the younger shall serve the elder until the time appointed. We covet the position of dignity and honor, but despise the position of service. Amen. We despise the posture of a servant. We want the seat without the service. We want the praise without the pain. We want the glory without the gloom. We want the title without the tension. We want the position without the performance. We want the crown without the cross. We have a big problem with this less than the least concept, but the way to greatness is still through service. Don't y'all hear Jesus saying, whosoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whosoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for us. We've got to be willing to serve. That's the problem today. Hardly anyone wants to start at the bottom and work their way up to the top. Y'all know, come on, where are my folk who see it on your jobs? You see it, amen, in the workplace. Folk want to start out as the boss, want to bypass the period of preparation and training, want to come in giving orders instead of taking orders. I see it at McDonald's. I see workers talking to managers like they're crazy. God, thank you, God, that I don't have to manage some of these fast food places. Y'all have been there and seen how, amen, the young folk, amen, we need some more Leslie Robinsons in these places, amen. Where kids know you're not going to come in here talking crazy, amen, and acting like you're running things when you ain't even got all your training yet. Is there anybody here who understands that if you're going to be great in this life, you got to learn, number one, how to serve? Oh, but these are difficult times. The husband doesn't submit to the lordship of Christ. So the wife says, well, I'm not going to submit to your headship. And then you got the children saying, well, I ain't going to serve either one of you. The home becomes a house of lords instead of a house of servants. And from there, it spills over into other sectors of society. You'll see the foolishness in the schoolhouse. You'll see this craziness in the neighborhood. You'll see it in the government. You'll see it in business. And yes, even in the church, hardly anybody wants to serve. What has happened to the younger serving the elder until the time appointed? But what this episode in the life of Jacob teaches us is that if we fail to submit to God, we'll have to submit to a human master. Oh my, it's tight, but it's right. If you can't serve God, God will put you in a position where you got to serve some man. And I don't know if y'all remember the story of David. When David got in trouble and God gave him some choices, God said, you can either fall under the rule of man, you can fall into the hands of nature. Amen. And David said, Lord, whatever you do, I don't want to fall into the hands of man. He said, because man is unmerciful. Man is mean. Man, amen, can be doing the same thing that you're doing and judge you and condemn you for something they are doing. David said, Lord, whatever you do, let me fall into your hands. Because, amen, nature can be just, nature don't care. Nature doesn't discriminate. Nature will come in and tear up a whole city. David said, I don't want to be in the hands of man. I don't want to be in the hands of nature. Lord, let me fall in your hands, because I know that if I fall into your hands, there's one thing I know about you: your mercy endures forever. Is there anybody here who can thank God that when you got in trouble, amen, you didn't have to fall into the hands of man? God didn't leave it up to nature, but you fell into the hands of the Lord. And did he show you mercy? If he did, you ought to give him a praise right here. Amen. Come on, how many of you can say, I should have been dead, sleeping in my grave, but he caused my enemies to behave, all because of his mercy? Come on, give God a praise for his mercy. There are wages to be paid for our failure to trust God. To fail to trust God is to be paid cheap, to be at the mercy of your human master, to work long hours for little pay, to be treated as a thing with no worth, to be threatened with firing when you fail to comply. To fail to trust God results in serving a human master, for the divine principle is yet, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, but whosoever shall humble himself shall be exalted. We've got to learn how to trust God. Now, let me also suggest that when you fail to trust God, not only will you end up serving man, but the second thing will happen is you will disrespect the rights of the firstborn. The firstborn